Thank you for attending session 161, titled The Primary Colors and My Duct Tape Self. Shelf. Sorry, it is shelf. My duct-taped shelf. Yeah, I guess it would, wouldn't it? This session is being recorded. All swear words you say will go out to millions. You will be able to purchase it after the presentation ends at the registration desk on the main floor. We encourage you to also purchase other Sunstone merchandise or make a donation to Sunstone to help support these amazing events. This session is 60 minutes long, and we ask both audience and presenters to keep it within that framework, lest you feel my foot. A little about this presentation. Using my favorite primary songs as a framework for growth, I've learned to live without fear, trust my gut, be an advocate for social justice, heal from crippling depression, recognize that there are many spiritual paths, and understand that Mormonism is just one possible path to the top of the mountain. Using primary lyrics, I will share stories of courage from friends I have known, especially among the LGBTQ community. My own prompting to do what is right, let the consequences follow, led me to become a proactive ally for the LGBTQ community and start an affirmation-style group in Cache Valley. Nature is my church, love is my religion. This will be presented by Carol Thane, who has a BFA and BS degree in art education and English. She's a novelist with 5 published novels from Covenant Communications and Walnut Springs, a wife, mother, and blogger. Welcome to the stage, Carol Thane!
Well, that's probably as good as it'll ever get, right? I'm happy to be here. I must say, since I've stepped away from Mormonism, I do miss teaching Relief Society. So if that happens to you along the way, just submit a proposal to Sunstone and you might get the chance to teach a few people. Okay, do I need to talk this direction then? Yeah. Sounds like. It'll go like this. Okay. This is just my journey. It's not meant to tell anybody else what they need to do. So I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I'm going to have to move this like this. Will that work? I want to thank Emily Jensen. She's my niece and smart person.
You can take one of those down if you don't need it. Or
I do need it. One's the talk. Yeah. Okay, but I need to look at it this way. So, yep. Say, I grew up in the 60s and 70s in the same house in one of the more diverse neighborhoods in Orem, Utah. Although it was completely white, middle class, there was one family who wasn't Mormon and one family that wasn't Republican, and that was not the same family. With that, you'll not be surprised that when I left home, by the way, I wanted to point out here, notice the cross in the background. So this is definitely a more diverse neighborhood in Orem, Utah. And in that small picture that you can't see very well is the representation of Mormon, Democrat, and non-LDS, and anyway, all of them. But that was it. So, with that, you'll not be surprised that when I left home to attend USU at 19, I was blown away by the vast diversity I encountered at USU. To be fair, it was a bit more diverse then than it is today. But that should also give you an idea of the kind of bubble I lived in. I always used to say I would never leave Mormonism because it would be like losing my right arm. Instead, I have found it to be even more difficult. It has been more like cutting out my heart. One of the songs I used to sing in primary, the program for Mormon youth age 3 to 12, was Our Primary Colors Are 1, 2, 3, Red, Yellow, and Blue. Each one has a message for you and me. Each is a symbol true. Red is for courage to do what is right. Yellow for service from morning till night. Blue is for truth in our thought and our deed. We will be happy when this is our creed. For the majority of my life, I was a true believing Mormon. From pioneer stock, Mormons are uncomfortable with doubt. Next. We like to know. This one is supposed to actually be with the primary song. Whoops, now it's whipping ahead. Let's see. Okay, this is probably the doubt one. From pioneer stock, Mormons are uncomfortable with doubt. We like to know. On a typical fast and testimony meeting held once a month or open mic for believers, it would be unusual to say anything but, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, with every fiber of my being, that the church is true. I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet and so on. When I was about the same age as Joseph Smith, I too wanted to be able to get up and say that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Let's see, what's happening to my thing? Is it... Well, I lost my page, but there's also a fly. So, what I was going to say is that it's not on this page too, I don't think. So I did pray, and I received that burning in my bosom that so many people seek, and that gave peace to my heart in a time that I really needed it. If you remember, this was 60s and 70s were during the Cold War. Vietnam was present. It was a very fearful time. And I was afraid that if I wasn't perfect, I would be left behind and would be burned as stubble. That was something that we heard about quite a bit in church. It takes courage to stand before others and speak from your heart. The late Camilla Kimball, wife of the president of the church, for much of my youth, said, I've always had an inquiring mind. I'm not satisfied just to accept things. I like to follow through and study things out. I learned early to put aside those gospel questions that I couldn't answer. I had a shelf of things I didn't understand, but as I've grown older and studied and prayed and thought about each problem, one by one, I've been able to better understand them. I still have some questions on that shelf, but I've come to understand so many other things in my life that I'm willing to bide my time for the rest of the answers. Well, I too have an inquiring mind like Camilla Kimball. I began to put stuff on my shelf that I didn't understand, or in my case, believe. My shelf started to buckle and finally broke when I was nearly 40. But I prayed a little harder and wrapped a lot of duct tape around my metaphorical shelf so that I could continue on as an active member of the church. I didn't have the courage to do anything else. I came from a long line of active believing Mormons. And by dang, I was going to believe too. My eternal life depended upon it. My marriage depended upon it. My relationship with my entire family depended upon it. But by 2012, in my 50s, I was in a full-on depression. I've never felt so heavy and anxious. Night after sleepless night, I couldn't stop my brain from ruminating over my dilemma. My heart ached and my chest actually hurt. My doubts about religion were ever present in my mind. Coincidentally, it was about the same time that a decision was made by the first presidency to tear down our beloved and historic chapel in Paradise. This, at the time, was the oldest standing chapel in the church. As our church was destroyed, this is the chapel, the inside, and there's actually hand-painted, you can't really see it, but there's hand-painted flowers at the top that are from a Dutch master. It still hurts my heart to see these This became a literal metaphor for what was happening inside of me. That's the steeple coming down. And that's the end. One morning I was lying in bed and silently praying and telling God how angry and heartbroken and depressed I was that my church didn't have any viable answers for the LGBTQ community. I had yet to be an ally, but I've always held deep convictions about social justice and equality. It only took a little reading to believe that my church was wrong on this important issue. If the prophet really spoke to God, he'd have answers for everyone. And if he was wrong about this, what else could he be wrong about? So as I was trying to close my eyes to the needs of our LGBTQ and shove that concern up on my duct taped shelf, I found that there wasn't any room for it. So instead of being able to store safely away for later consideration, these words came to my mind. Do something then. Do something. What? Remember, I'm not a brave person. You are God. You do something. It is not up to me. Bravery for everyone is a little bit different, isn't it? We have stories of courage. Red is for courage, to do what is right. So what's right? What's true? The first thing I did was muster up a little courage to attend a meeting called Mormons Building Bridges. If I was going to stay Mormon, then I wanted to build bridges. At the meetings, I met several people who would help me gain faith in humanity and help me on my journey towards purpose and authenticity. Doing something, even if it's a little, minor something, has given me the motivation to be an ally and an activist for social justice causes. It might not be much, but it is something. Because of overwhelming depression, I've sought professional help. My therapist shared this story, which most of you would have heard, but he told it to me because he knew, like many of us, or all of us, I can be hard on myself. There is so much need in the world that we often are overwhelmed before we even start. And we wonder if we can possibly make any difference. So this is the story. One day a man was walking along the beach when he noticed a boy picking something up and gently throwing it into the ocean. The surf is up and the tide is going out. If I don't throw it back, it will die. Son, the man said, don't you realize there are miles and miles of beach and hundreds of starfish? You can't make a difference. After listening politely, the boy bent down, picked up another starfish, and threw it back into the surf. Then, smiling at the man, he said, I made a difference to that one. Sometimes the biggest difference we make is in ourselves. Our hearts are the ones who change the most when we reach out and care. One of the most important things for me, sorry about that, is to be gentle with myself and being okay with just doing a little bit. Self-care and deciding which causes I can put my energy behind and then how much energy I have, and even if I only do a tenth of what I wanted to do, to be okay with that. This bear, I actually took this picture, and it just kept moving around and getting comfortable, and it was up in this high bear tree. Dory was with me, that's here on the front row. So take a rest when you need it. This bear didn't have any qualms about doing that. Mark Twain said, it is curious that physical courage should be so common in the world and moral courage so rare. I have actually found moral courage not to be so rare after all. Dr. Brené Brown said, integrity is choosing courage over comfort, choosing what is right over what is fast, fun, or easy, and choosing to practice our values than simply professing them. And that's hard to do, right? Right now, I'm choosing courage over comfort by speaking today. When I lost faith in my religion, I lost my courage. The rug was pulled out from under me. So today, and every day, I'm trying to get back on my feet. Along the journey, I've seen a lot of moral and physical courage. The first time I walked in a pride parade with Mormons Building Bridges, the courage and the love was palpable between the parade watchers and those of us in the that were doing the walking. It was beautifully overwhelming. It was there I realized that what we often call the Spirit is actually love. Carolyn Pearson, a prominent Mormon LGBTQ ally, feminist, poet, and writer, wrote a simple primary song that has become a theme for many allies in Mormon Building Bridges, Mormons for Equality, Mama Dragons, and others. It goes like this. If you don't walk as most people do, some people walk away from you, but I won't. If you don't talk as most people do, some people talk and laugh at you, but I won't. I won't. I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. That's how I'll show my love for you. Jesus walked away from none. He gave his love to everyone and turned and said, come follow me, and I will, I will, I will. I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. That's how I'll show my love for you. In 1984, Carolyn Pearson took care of her then ex-husband as he died from AIDS and then wrote a powerful memoir called Goodbye, I Love You. Through her heartbreaking experience, she has spent her life advocating for the LGBTQ community and for equality for women in the church. She took her courage, combined it with knowledge, truth, talent, and love, and has used her life and church activity for good. Courage is my young friend Adam. Adam just lived around the corner from me up there in Avon, Utah. He is a stalwart young man, and he came home from his LDS mission after serving a few months because of major depression. He was hospitalized shortly after for suicidal intent. He then had the courage to come out as gay with a beautiful YouTube music video called Giving Thanks, which portrayed his struggle and journey to find hope in his life once more. Adam posted it on Facebook minutes before getting in the car with his family to travel to Wyoming on Thanksgiving Day. Adam chooses courage over comfort and is now getting a doctorate in counseling psychology to help others, especially where religion and sexuality intersect. Courage is my friend Allison, another one-time neighbor, coming out as a lesbian after 16 years of marriage and 4 children. After divorcing, she lost her home, her children, her car, and came close to losing her life with suicide as an option. Allison then took on a system which favored a straight father over a gay mother and eventually regained custody of her children. Allison married into a same-sex relationship and started back into college when, again, everything turned and she was diagnosed with an aggressive, debilitating form of multiple sclerosis. With the help of her then-wife, she mustered all her courage to face an experimental and expensive stem cell regimen which would nearly kill her before making her better. Unfortunately, the strain of Allison's health contributed to another divorce, but she continued to face life head on. Allison is now thriving. Courage is gender dysphoria. When Randy was interviewed for baptism at age 8, I'm going to use the pronoun she because that's what she goes by now. She told the bishop that God meant for her to be a girl instead of a boy. The bishop told her that those feelings would go away with baptism, and to Randy's great disappointment, the feelings did not go away, ever. I will tell Randy's experience briefly in her own words. Imagine, if you will, standing behind a 747 idling at the end of a runway. As the pilot increases power to the engines, the noise becomes unbearable, to the point that it is so loud you literally cannot think. Gender dysphoria is like that. It starts out as occasional thoughts that do not affect you much at all. Then it gradually becomes louder and louder and louder to the point that simple little things become major trigger issues that cause you to totally lose the ability to think, or have rational thought. By mid-February, the gender dysphoria pressure cooker was ready to burst, and I had finally had enough. I could not deal with it anymore. I was tired of living on the edge of a cliff between life and death. One misstep, and I would be gone. Randy learned about a trans panel that we held in Logan. Still Randall, at the time, with a beard and a flannel shirt, and spouse, they made the trip to Logan from the Ogden area. Randy described how at every turn she wanted to turn around, but kept forcing herself to continue the drive. Even in front of the home where the activity was held, Randy wanted to turn back. She watched as others went inside and then took a very courageous step and entered. Again, in Randy's own words, "So here I am, an apparent 49-year-old male with a beard that I had worn nonstop for over 25 years, but inside was really a woman who had never really had a chance to live life, a woman who had been trapped in a testosterone-filled body for nearly 50 years, or 5 decades, or half a century, or my entire life. As we talked, my therapist and I discussed the many different aspects of my life, and I decided that I was going to give therapy one last try. I did not expect it to work, as it had failed so many times before, but her fresh new perspective gave me a glimmer of hope. Once that glimmer of hope took root, I decided that I was going to follow this new road with the same effort I had applied to overcoming things in the past. I had no idea where the road would lead me. I had no idea if the road would be easy or hard. Randy has survived multiple suicide attempts, but through the help of a great therapist, supportive wife, and many others, she is finding herself. Randy's courage is inspiring to me and to those who meet her. Courage is Laura, who lost this beautiful daughter, Hannah, 5 years ago. Hannah had an accident and a traumatic brain injury and began to suffer a deep depression, which led her to completing suicide. Laura took her heartbreak and made a courageous decision. She would do everything she could to prevent others from choosing the same road that ended Hannah's life. Laura has worked tirelessly towards suicide prevention, helping create a new law in Utah so that all calls to mental health lines will be answered 24/7 or transferred and never go to voicemail. When Hannah's law was passed in January 2018, lawmakers stood to give Laura a standing ovation. Courage is a group of mothers who call themselves Mama Dragons because of their fierce advocacy for their LGBTQ children. It started with just a handful, but has grown to thousands with numerous chapters around the nation. I met a few of those women while attending a funeral of a young gay man in Cache Valley. I heard their stories, and even though I didn't have a gay child, the small group of Mama Dragons at the funeral invited me to join them. They are a huge inspiration to many, including me. While I've never needed the kind of courage I've encountered among these friends, I've had to face my own fears. The fear of being wrong, the fear of living my life to please others instead of myself, worrying too much about what others think. And in 2013, I mustered all the courage that I could and walked to the front of my LDS chapel in fast and testimony meeting. And instead of saying the usual, I began my testimony with, "The only thing I know is that I don't know. I don't know that Joseph Smith was a prophet," and so on, casting my doubts for my entire ward to hear. Ironically, for a church that began with a 14-year-old boy's doubts about religion, my testimony was rare. Whether my testimony was brave or naive and stupid, being authentic gave me the courage to keep seeking truth. For a time, I would be seeking truth within the boundaries of mostly Mormon teachings until I was ready to move on. Blue is for truth in our thought and our deed. My very favorite article of faith in or tenet of Mormonism is number 13, memorized as a 9-year-old. We believe in being honest, true, chaste, benevolent, virtuous, and in doing good to all men. Indeed, we may say that we follow the admonition of Paul. We believe all things, we hope all things, we have endured many things, and hope to be able to endure all things. If there is anything virtuous, lovely, or good report, or praiseworthy, we seek after these things. That has always spoken to me. Seeking lovely, praiseworthy things can happen nearly anywhere. Once more than 10 years ago, a young returned missionary stood up and said that one of the many difficulties that he had teaching his mission in Africa was that there was a saying that said there are many paths to the top of the mountain. And I thought, cool, that is something I believe too. One of the somethings that I have been involved in is a group. Oh, this is just fun to read. The more you know, the harder it is to take decisive action. Once you become informed, you start seeing complexities and shades of gray. You realize that nothing is as clear and simple as it first appears. Ultimately, knowledge is paralyzing. Being a man of action, I can't afford to take that risk. You're ignorant, but at least you act on it. I just had to put that in there because it fits so well. So one of the somethings that I've been involved in is a group that was mentioned at the beginning that we started up in Cache Valley. And I met this fabulous person named Peter Harrison at the second Pride Parade that I walked in when he persuaded me to join a group that he'd started called Mormons for Marriage Equality. And from that very first meeting that I went to that was the Mormons Building Bridges, I'd met these women, some of them were in the photo that I showed earlier, and I thought, these women look like the Relief Society president in my ward, and yet they have gay children. If I could show people in my ward that these families are just like everybody else's families, then that might make a difference. So that's kind of how this group started. I had invited my neighbors, I invited some others to come over and tell their stories, and Peter was the only brave soul from the LGBTQ community that decided to represent the entire community. And he told his story there. And afterwards he said, this has been so great, I wish we could do something and start some kind of group like this that would meet in homes, like family home evening. And that's what we started. So one night we were at the home of Marilyn and Carolyn Bentley. And that's Carolyn that has the Nasty Woman shirt. She's the one that I thought looked like a Relief Society president. And I found out at the time that she was in the Relief Society presidency, so I wasn't far off. And at the family home evening, she told us in her presentation that if you can thrive in the Mormon church, do that. But if you can't, go. Go and find a place where you can thrive. A loving God would want nothing less for you. That spoke truth to me and others who were there. Also in their home that night was a young gay couple, Michael and Austin. They met at BYU. One was teaching at the MTC, the other one was an EFY counselor, and they had planned on keeping their sexuality a secret to the grave. But as life would often have it, they met, fell in love, and knew that it was impossible to pursue their relationship at BYU, so they transferred up to Utah State, where I met them that night. These two had hoped to someday marry and raise their children in the church. Aren't they cute? They're great. They're great guys. And those hopes were dashed on November 5th of 2015 when the church came out with the policy, the POX or exclusion policy, as many of us have called it. The policy then stated that the children of same-sex couples could not be given a name and a blessing in the church, couldn't be baptized at age 8 like their peers, and that they would need to wait until they were 18 and then disavow their parents' relationship to be baptized. Though this has since been changed, irreversible damage has already been done. Over the years, I've had a lot of last straws, but had always managed to find a way to talk myself into staying, mending my doubt shelf. I have so admired women who managed to make big differences in the LDS Church by being themselves, and I had hoped to be one of those people. This is my Aunt Emily Thane. Some of you might recognize her. She wrote the hymn, "Where Can I Turn for Peace?" I grew up with the goal to be Emma Luthane. And that goal, I realized I was myself. I couldn't be her. She was her. She passed away in 2014. So on 2015, November 5th, the words that kept me awake that night were from the popular hymn, "Do What Is Right, Let the Consequence Follow. Battle for freedom in spirit and might. I could no longer put my energy, time, and talents or money into an organization that had taken such a stance. Courage can be staying in a faith and making a difference, or it can be stepping away if being your best is no longer possible. As a leader in my church for young women for more than 14 years, I stood nearly every Sunday and recited this motto: We will stand as witnesses of God at all times, in all things, in all places, as we strive to live the young women values, which are faith, divine nature, individual worth, choice and accountability, good works, integrity, and virtue. That motto has continued to be with me as I do strive to live truth and stand for what really matters to me, whether it's at a pride event, Women's March, campaigning for someone I believe in, or writing a letter to a member of Congress, or a letter to the editor. I want to be on what I believe is the right side of history. Another primary song that comes to my mind is my motto, even though I'm always fighting introversion to actually practice it as well as I'd like to. Jesus said, "Love everyone, treat them kindly too. When your heart is filled with love, others will love you." So back to the couple who fell in love at BYU. It took courage for them and a huge leap of faith to choose the relationship over the religion that they had loved so much. It took courage to choose to marry without the support or approval of either set of parents. Jesus said, "Love everyone, treat them kindly too." These two young men are a great example of showing love even when others turned their backs on them. They still loved and respected their parents, but the parents didn't approve. So a big bunch of friends helped them create a perfect wedding. And guess what? Even though it was really hard for them, the parents did show up. It was a really big step, and that took a lot of courage too. Even though they have a long way to go, love triumphed. I have hope that things will get better and someday people won't fear loving who they love. I am truly one of the luckiest people in the world. I've collected so many friends who accept me for who I am. And this is my fan club right here in the front row, and Emily back there. My daughter flew in from Brooklyn to be here. And my wonderful husband and children stand by me. I didn't lose friends when I took a big step away from Mormonism. Instead, I gained many. My broken heart has been mended and healed through the help of those who walk with me on my journey. Any positive change in life is possible with a good support system. And if it can't be your family, there will be others who come to your aid. Others before me have said, "Nature is my church, love is my religion. That is my truth." From the time I was 3, my family went up to Yellowstone every summer for at least a week and stayed in a cabin built by my grandpa, my dad, and my uncles. In the mountains and by the rivers and seeing wildlife, I have felt true awe. It's where I can believe in the joy of being alive. It's where I can truly worship and feel peace and healing. I've celebrated every single birthday since the year I turned 38 with a birthday hike with friends and family. This is the first one, that's why there's only one friend. The year I turned 60, last year, it was really special because a handful of friends, both of our children and each of our four at the time grandchildren, hiked to the top of Mount Naomi, the highest peak in Cache Valley, in freezing temperatures and a snowstorm. Doesn't look like it, but, well, you can kind of tell it's cold. A French couple on the trail felt so badly for my then 6-year-old grandson that they lent him gloves. They were like, is he okay? He looked like he was going to have frostbite. What else? A jacket, I think. And we stood at the top for this really quick photo, and then we got off the top very quickly. I'm going to close with another one of my favorite primary songs. Whenever I hear the song of a bird or look at the blue, blue sky, whenever I feel the rain on my face or the wind as it rushes by, whenever I touch a velvet rose or walk by our lilac tree, I'm glad that I live in this beautiful world Heavenly Father created for me. I am glad that I live in this beautiful world, and I don't know if I've ever smelled a bouquet of lilacs without thinking of that childhood song. I'm still on my journey, and I'm still searching for the best path to the top of the mountain. I value the religion I was raised in and recognize that for good or ill, it's a huge part of who I am. But I also recognize that if I compare my faith to a tree, there are some branches that need to be pruned, and new growth needs to happen, and grafting needs to take place for the healthier me. Paying attention to what speaks to me, moral courage, truth, friendship, love, charity, social justice, nature, being creative, and feeling grateful helps to heal my heart. And thank you for being part of this journey today.
All right. We have about 20 minutes left in the session. We don't necessarily need to take all of it. However, we've heard some very interesting things here. And would you be willing to answer any questions?
Yes, if you can think of a question that I can answer, I will be
okay.
Happy to.
Okay, if you would kindly come up to the microphone to ask your question, that way we'll be able to record what you say. Thank you.
Try not to blubber up here. Thank you so much. That was a very, it was very nice of you to share your vulnerable journey.
I want to let you know that
over the last year, so I'm still engaged, and I'm in church, and I'm the primary chorister.
I kind of got that.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. And for our primary program, as a primary chorister, I get to choose the songs we don't sing as well as the ones we do. And every one of the songs that you had in your program, in your presentation, we did in our primary program last year.
That is great.
And I make sure to let the kids know every week that they're loved by Heavenly Mother and Heavenly Father, and that I wear my pride pin to support those members of my ward that don't get to be honest and open even with their families. So I'm very grateful to you, and I'm wondering what are some other things that you have planned through your journey with your family and you that you're working on? What are some other aspirations that you have?
I think one of the biggest challenges is for me to figure out a way to be supportive to my family members that are still very actively involved in the church. And I really applaud anybody who works with children. I think that is just such a worthy goal, and anything you can do to bring in that love every time is so great. And we have the challenge with grandchildren to try to figure out a way to honor their parents who are very actively engaged and still be ourselves, and it's very tricky. So our family kind of makes a goal. I don't know. I mean, it's not a literal goal. We don't talk about it, but we do things that bring us together in ways that aren't church-related, like hikes and family picnics and hot dog roasts and anything that we can do and enjoy. And then when we're invited to the primary programs or the baptisms, we just, I feel like if I expect to be respected, I need to respect their journey as well. And that is tricky and it's hard. So I don't know as I have any goals, but just to keep trying. I have very many friends in the Mama Dragon community or in other aspects of the LGBT advocacy that are staying active. And I think it takes great courage to do that. And one of the women that I admire in Cache Valley, she says, I want to be there for those kids when they come out. I want them to know that they can look and see that face of love. So that's why she's staying. And I so admire that. So thank you for that, sharing your story. Very good.
Sorry, I'm so cold. I have my socks on. I feel awkward. Thank you. That was so beautiful.
Thank you.
That's inspiring. I also would love to get more involved. I mean, I live in Arizona, and I go to the All Arizona events. I haven't been to a parade yet, but I'd like to do that. I'm just curious, like, how you, because, how did you use your voice, or how did you reach out to let others know that we're making a difference or volunteering or being part of a cause that you wanted to join in that? Because do you go on Facebook? Do you put the word out? Because I would love to also be more involved. And, like, I think if you're in Utah, there's just, like, there's Encircle.
Right.
But Arizona, like, I'm thinking, okay, should I start Encircle?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's just hard to know where to begin. And
right.
So I'm just curious, like, how you started that and your journey.
That's a really good question. And like you brought out the Utah, there is a lot more opportunity. But honestly, when I very first started being an advocate, it was very quietly. And I'd put something out on Facebook that was just supportive. And people literally came out of the woodwork to say, hey, what do you think about this? I can't tell from your Facebook post, but I'm a mother of a gay child and I am searching for someone, and they just wanted someone to talk to. So you just kind of put the word out that you are, and if you dare raise your hand in church, if you're still going, and just say something positive, you will have a swarm of people afterwards whisper to you. It happened to me so many times. There were always kind of a whisper, I agree with what you said. And they wanted to know more. So, yeah, it can happen. Arizona, I'm sure there's chapters down there for the Mama Dragons and different things, but it's probably a lot harder to get involved. So anytime you dare say something, it really makes a difference. So...
I think, are you awake? Is it working?
I think it's working, yeah. Yeah.
I think I'll just add to what you were saying there, which was once a month I go to Encircle and attend the Becoming Transgender, group. Mm-hmm. And so one Sunday in sacrament meeting, Fast and Testimony meeting, I got up and to say my testimony and said only what was true for me. But then I said, I appreciate the good people in the world. I appreciate the good people here. And I attend these meetings at Encircle once a month, and I go there for my own self because it feels so beautiful to be accepted for who you are. Actually, I'm just a normal human mother. In other words, but it's open. I can be who I really am and be accepted for who I am, not be the ex-Relief Society president or who, you know what I mean? The set of expectations that people see you through their lens kind of a thing. But that the great love and acceptance that I felt from the LGBTQ people, for me, I always come home on as I'm driving home, I feel so relaxed, really relaxed, because I was able to just be myself. And I want to express my great love for these people who love me. It's not like these people. It's like we are. They're us. We're them. Do you know what I mean? There isn't
an us and them.
I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
That my love for them. And then I went on, said whatever I wanted to say, and sat down, and people did come to me afterwards and say, thank you so much for saying that. I wish so-and-so could have been here to hear it. But as I looked down on the audience, I saw one woman I know whose sister is lesbian, and she is really conflicted about it, but loves her sister and wants to support her sister. And so her listening to me express my true feelings, then it does something for her. And how many other people in that audience needed to feel my great love and respect for them? Do you see what I'm saying?
I think sometimes what, and I just heard this the other day from somebody who said that they first went to an Encircle meeting to share their love, and they left feeling very loved. And that's totally been my experience with, especially that first time I walked in the Pride Parade with Mormons Building Bridges. It was so overwhelming, I couldn't even, I was just so filled with love, and I realized that it was from all the people that I was walking past. They were just loving that there were people willing to, you know, advocate for. It was just really beautiful.
So that was just what I wanted to say, was it's, if you want to make a difference to those around you, it can be as simple as standing up in testimony meeting and saying something true, genuine, and loving, and that opens it for
opens
other people
it right
to
up.
Do the same.
Does everyone know what Encircle is? There's a Salt Lake House, Provo House. They're just opening one in St. George, and we are hoping to open one in Logan. It's being worked on right now. So, I mean, they're not actually building it, but the idea is there. So, and it's just a safe place for therapy and art lessons and music and to come together for friendship. So, anything else? How are we doing? Oh, thank you.
I don't have a question. I just kind of have a comment of thank you and courage to anybody who happens to be hearing that it does make a difference. The first Pride Parade I went to, I was just coming out, was San Francisco. I'd gone there for the American Library Association meetings, but it was really so that I could contact somebody in affirmation that I'd heard about. And the most demonstrative reception from all of the gays and lesbians and allies that were in the audience was for PFLAG marching by.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. We still have some time if somebody wants to share an experience. I heard something just the other day that from a young gay man who had come out to his parents after his mission. And he was very worried about what his dad would think, who was a tough, he called him he was a police officer, you know, yeah. So he was this big tough guy. And so he told his dad he was gay. And his dad, and they talked about the church a little bit, but his dad said, I can't imagine a heaven without you in it. And I just loved that so much because my experience with everyone that I meet in the LGBTQ community is there's no question. It's just love, and you don't need to worry about where anybody's going in the next life. You just love and worry about what's going on here. So,
those sound like great ending words.
Okay.